You know, we're at the Christmas, New Year's season, and men like to watch football. A lot of men like to watch football. I am one of them. I admit it. And I love college football. Lately, it's been more fun to me to watch college football than pro football, but I do enjoy watching football. And I saw one of Michigan's coaches, my team is Michigan, hail to the victors, and one of Michigan's coaches said about Alabama, Nick Saban, he said some things, I believe, to provoke his players to play to their utmost in order to do their best to win in the runner-up game to the national NCAA championship Rose Bowl game in Pasadena, California, on New Year's Day. And this guy, his name was Jesse Minter. He's the Michigan's defensive coordinator. And he provoked, I would say he challenged the players, the Wolverines, to have a chip on their shoulder. That is to provoke them to play up to their full potential. And he said, I don't know what we can do, but I want you to give it your all. And I want you to be ready and leave it all on the field to win against Alabama in the NCAA playoffs. Now, he said to Michigan, you're 13-0. You've won the Big Ten 3 times in a row. He said, but you're 0-2 in the national playoffs. You're 0-2. You haven't won. And he was telling the team, the name of these playoffs, I'll call them the Alabama Invitational. The Alabama Invitational. He said Alabama's played in 8 out of 10 playoffs of recent time, and they've won a bunch of them. He said the SEC, the Southern Conference, has won 4 or 5 in a row. He said to his team, let's go. Let's bring on the best and let's play them and see where we come out. See where we are. You know what? I like that. I like that for you tonight. I feel a pastor is a head coach.
Right.
This was the defensive coordinator who's like one of the associate preachers. But a pastor is a head coach, and we're kind of like a football team or a baseball team or a team. And the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthian team or church. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In other words, it's not wise to compare yourself with somebody else.
Right.
You have a unique personality.
Right.
You have unique gifts. You have unique talents. You are one of a kind. You can't compare yourself to anybody else in this church or anywhere else. And you're not to compete against other Christians. Sometimes Christians get into that mentality, and that's not to be our mentality. What are we to compete against? I know one of the men, I've said it enough times, you've heard it enough times, and if all else fails, we'll come back to you. What are we competing against? All right, Brother Kyle, yell it out.
Our own potential.
See that? He's been sick and he still could belt it out. Amen. Notice, I don't have women right now doing that. You know why? Because they're helping me preach. And women aren't going to help me preach. They're going to be silent when I preach.
Right.
You say, why do you say that? Because I'm going by the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's right. Living up to your own potential. I don't believe that the Michigan teams have lived up to their own potential in the playoffs. I hope they do it this year. And that doesn't say they're going to win. I'm not saying they're going to win. But they're going to, if they play up to their potential, that's all that counts. Really? And I want to say to you that that's winning. That's winning. And I want to challenge you tonight. Are you playing up to your potential? Are you playing up to your potential tonight? And with all that being said about that, the excellence, the diligence, and the example of other people, though, can certainly and should certainly be used to get you to live up to and serve God up to your own potential. In other words, God will use other people to help you to live up to your potential. And I want to read the text for tonight, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. If you'll look at it with me, I'll read it. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Let me say that again. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, I looked that up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. You say, what did you look up? I looked up the word provoke. And I find out that that is my gift. No, we think of provoke negatively, don't we? We usually think of it negatively. But here's what it says. The first definition says to call into action, to arouse, to excite. Now, is that bad? To arouse, to excite, to call unto action? That could be good or bad. If you're a Palestinian terrorist on October 7th, that's bad. Or an Islamic cleric, that's bad. Or a New World Order globalist, that's bad. But if you're doing a good thing, that's a good thing. And so that definition is negative or positive, but it can be positive to call into action, to provoke, to arouse, to excite. You know what? Some people in church, they need to be aroused. Yeah. They need to be excited. They need to. It's like you go into church sometime and people have cobwebs growing down from their head right down to the ground. And they do not want to be called into action. They do not want to be challenged. Let me tell you, if I am not into action, I need to go home to heaven. That's right. You may be looking at a preacher that's had a lot of experience, a lot of years, season, but you're not looking at a guy that's done. You're not looking at a guy that doesn't have goals and plans and vision. Amen, Brother Joe? No way, Jose. And we got some Jose's around here. Who are we looking at then? And that's what you were thinking, right, Joe? Yeah, I know. There's not many clerics around me. But that's right. And so there's a second definition. I'll read it. It says, to make angry. To provoke is to make angry. Now that kind of, we don't want to do that, right? The Bible says the fathers don't provoke your children to wrath. You know how a father can provoke his children to wrath? You never can please the guy. Like, I had a friend of mine, definitely melancholy, named Ken Rudolph. And his dad, he wanted to please his dad, and his dad was a farmer, and he just killed himself to clean up the barn. He got everything done. He worked for hours just to show his dad. And his dad came in to look at the barn, and he comes in, he goes, "Now see, that's the way it should be all the time." What an inappropriate comment for a father to make at that point. Kid was bursting his heart. Men can be over harsh. And that's why it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So that's the second definition of provoke. Not a good definition. The third is to excite, to cause, as to provoke perspiration. Or maybe you could provoke a smile. You ever done that? Provoke smiles. You could provoke a smile. And so that is kind of like the first definition. Then the third definition is to excite, to stimulate, to increase. And man, do we need that. I believe that Jesse Minter was trying to excite and stimulate and put a chip on Michigan's shoulder to play their best. The fifth definition is just to challenge, to challenge. The sixth definition is to move, to incite, to stir up, to induce. I think that's the best definition that fits this. When I think of induce, what do you think of when you think of induce? The word that comes to me is labor. You ever heard of a woman being induced into labor? They're doing a lot of that today, I notice. It's not a good thing, I don't think. But anyway, to induce means to stimulate that woman to go into labor, to have a baby. And in that sense, that's a good thing if it causes you to be induced to bring forth fruit in your life, that others can do that in your life. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. The name of my sermon tonight is You Need to Be Challenged or Provoked to Win. You need to be challenged or provoked to win. Let's go back again to verse 24 of Hebrews. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." And the first thing I want to say, how can you be challenged or provoked to win or to serve up to your potential, to live up to your potential? And I believe some of you need this message so desperately tonight. And I want to say this. I used to go to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana in the 1980s and the 1990s. You say, why did you go there to see Jack Hiles and to go there to that pastor school? How many of you went to the pastor schools back then? Amen and amen. How many of you got stimulated by them, incited by them to do more for God? Raise your hand. Amen. I went there and I found it the same way, and I was stimulated. You say, well, man, the church had like 20-some thousand people in Sunday school every Sunday. How would that stimulate you? Didn't that depress you? It would if I was comparing myself to that church and our church to that. But our church is not that church. I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it like I'm going to go here and take something from the excellence of what's going on here and do one thing and bring it back and get it done in our church so we can go to that next level. And I would do that year after year. And we made progress. We made progress, beloved, and it helped me to be wholehearted for God. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, that you need to be challenged to win by challenging people being around you, people that challenge you. You know, there are people that do not challenge you. There are people that you can just be around them and relax and kick back and take it easy. By the way, I need to kick back. I don't need to be challenged every moment. I need to rest a while. And I need to have a date with my wife and sit down and relax and do that. I need that. I need somebody I can just let my hair down with and relax with. And so do you. So do we all, right? I'm not talking about I am always challenged. But there are times when we need to rise to the challenge. And it's about time some of you arise to the challenge. Amen. That we want to be great for God.
Yes.
Do you want to be great for God? And that's the thing I saw with Dr. Jack Hiles. He felt that he had a great Savior and he had a great salvation. And he wanted to do great things. Consider what great things God has done for you. And in order, though, listen to me, in order for you to do that, you need to be around people that challenge you.
Amen.
Regularly.
Amen.
You need to be in a church where you are challenged. If you're in a church where you're not being challenged, that's not good. Now, I remember a guy came to our church years ago, and he was living up to his potential. He was making progress. I saw great things happen in this guy's life. And he said, the reason why I'm growing and the reason why I'm going forward and blowing and growing and going is because I'm in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And there is a pressure in Scranton Revival Baptist Church to produce for God. He said, but it's not too much pressure. He said, but it's not too little pressure. He said, it's just the right amount of pressure that I need, and I am going forward because of it. Sometimes I get people, they're discouraged, and they come to me and they say, you know, I'm discouraged. I feel like a flop. I feel like a failure. Well, don't compare yourself to other people.
Right.
I would feel like a flop and a failure if I compared myself to when I went to pastor school. And so,
right.
But I don't do it that way. I don't look at it that way. I know I'm going to stand before God myself. And I'm going to stand before God based on my potential and have I... So I need to be around people that will stir me up to get my potential. But sometimes I meet people in this church and talk to them and counsel with them and they feel discouraged. I feel like such a failure. And I'm glad, listen to me, I'm glad when I can say to them, but look where you were when you came here. And have you ever seen those charts where they go up and down, these stock market charts? But what direction do they wind up in? Is it if you drew a straight line, there's all those up and downs, but does it go and gain money? And I could take certain people, and they're all discouraged because they're at a down point right now. But I say, if you look at your trajectory overall, you have grown and you're going forward. So realize that tonight and realize when you're around people that challenge you, that provoke you in a good way, incite you, arouse you to serve God, to love and good work, realize that yes, you may feel sometimes small in your own eyes and so forth, but God is using that to move you forward. And don't be afraid to subject yourself to that kind of pressure. Now, some of you tonight, you're dropping out of things and you're dropping back. Watch out for that.
Right.
Because you can drop out to the point where you are just always laying back and you're doing the fun things and you're just interested in that. I'm at the age when I could retire. I do not want to retire. So what I'm saying to you is I want to go on and use what I've been given for God. And I want an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom that I see is coming. And I want to be an overcomer. And I identify with Joshua and Caleb. Remember what Caleb said? Now therefore give me that mountain.
Right.
And you need to hang around people like that. You need to be challenged by people like that. Because if you're not, you see, you can become what I call ingrown. Ingrown is just me and my little layback person that I hang around or a little group that I hang around. And you just get ingrown and you're not being challenged. And that's not good for you overall. Have you ever heard of an ingrown toenail? Not very pretty. And you know what happens to an ingrown toenail? It pus comes out of it. It gets real, it starts oozing out, and the pus starts coming out of your life. You don't need that. You need to get outside of yourself. You need something that will help you forget about yourself. You need, like David, to be able to say, is there not a cause? And to be around people like that. That make you forget yourself. I know it's not in the comfort zone. I know it's not. But that's why I am where I am. I used to hang around some guys in the dorm at Baptist Bible College. You've heard me say it a million times. I'd hang around these guys. They would talk about girls, and guys love to talk about girls, and that's all we talked about. Girls, girls, girls. But you know what? I started hanging around with a guy named Charlie Ware. And I started talking about G, 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 God, God, God. And it's what attracted my wife to me, speaking of girls, because I was with God and with men of God that challenged me. And it affected my life. And when I went down to my wife's church, she was like, wow, this guy has my heart. You see, that's what some of you need.
Right.
Some of you, God's given you a blessing in your life, and you think, oh, I've arrived now, and I'm going to stop right here. Thank God, and that's all you got. It's like born in 1990, died in 2015, and buried in 2045. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. We're coming up to a new year, beloved. You need to be challenged or provoked to win, to live up to your potential by challenging people being around your life. And number two, by considering how you can challenge others. Look at verse 24 again. It says there, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not only challenging people around you, but considering how you can challenge others. You know what? I thought about this. I thought about, we need a missionary conference about once every year to challenge us to give up to our potential.
Good.
To stretch us.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that, we're going to get in a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out of it. And we don't want to be in that rut. We want to go forward. And I thought about that, and I planned the missionary conference, and that's a blessing. And we had that missionary conference. And you know what? The planning to have something like that is considering how we can use others to provoke you to love and good works. And that's what considering means. It's planning to challenge. It's planning to incite you and to stimulate you. And so that you'll go to that next level of serving God. And in the process of the missionary conference and in doing that, I thought about Brother Lou, who was here. He didn't really preach on this at all this time, but I remembered previous times. And he quoted C.T. Studd. And you probably remember that quote. How many remember that quote by C.T. Studd? Wow. You and I. How many remember that quote by C.T. Studd? Wow. I guess it's a preacher's grace. I got to remember who I'm preaching to. Miss Diane got it. All right. You got preacher's grace. You can't preach. That's terrible. But here it is. The light that shines the brightest. I said it wrong. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And that's the challenge God gave me, even though nobody preached on it this time, but just I was stimulated by the Lord that was what God gave me. And in that sense, this is part of the missionary conference right here. And Acts 1:8 says that ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But what is our Jerusalem? Well, our Jerusalem right here is from Carbondale, where you're going every week, down to Wilkes-Barre, from Tunkhannock all the way to Moscow. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, have we reached our Jerusalem yet, let alone Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part? Have we reached our Jerusalem yet?
No,
we haven't done it yet. The early church filled all Jerusalem with their doctrine. And I got thinking about that, and I got thinking about a challenging thought. We have a second bus, but I thought about, how about running a third bus? How about running a third bus? You know why? Because Brother Z's bus could be split in half. And then I thought about that, and that if we did that, we'd probably, and we wanted to reach Wilkes-Barre, we'd need a van to go down to Wilkes-Barre. And you say, well, for that you'd need the money, right? Amen. Well, that's why we had a missions conference. If we kept our promises, we could do it. If we kept our promises, we could do it. If we lived up to our potential, we could do it. I've done the math, so to speak, roughly speaking. We could do it. And so tonight, We're preaching on you need to be challenged or provoked to live up to your potential, to win. By having challenging people around you and by considering yourself how you can challenge others and be challenged. And so I want to just say to you that I want to stir you up tonight. I want to get you challenged tonight, but I don't want to twist your arm to do something. Because if you get somebody's arm twisted and they do it just because of human pressure, as soon as your back is turned, they're going to go their own way. They need to do it for God. They need to do it because God's working their heart. And that's the kind of people I want working with me and for me in the high places of God. I want them to be stirred up. But you know what? Even more than money to be able to do what I'm talking about, you know what's more important than money? Manpower. Manpower. That's more important than money. And God would have to provide the manpower. Faithful people, available people, people that would be taught of God and would stick with it. And thank God for people that have become bus drivers in our church and are willing to drive and donate that. And thank God for bus captains in our church. Thank God for bus workers in our church that are willing to give their time and to go out there and to do that work. And so I got stirred up to reach our Jerusalem. While we were having lunch with the young missionary couple, Rob Jones and his wife Myra, over there at the restaurant there, the delicious Italian food, I was stirred up. And they got talking about Kevin Wynn in Mexico City and his church. How many have heard of Kevin Wynn? One of the greatest missionaries in the 20th and 21st century. They're doing what I just talked to you about at pastor school. They're doing it down there in Mexico. It's amazing. And that stirs me up. Not to compare myself to that, but it stirs me up to go all out for God. It stirs me up to go to a higher level. And we need that. And we need to be stirred up. And Tuesday night, I come down to open the college, the Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And last week I came down, I went out soul winning and had a blessed time. This week I came down and I had a mission to go do something for somebody that had a need in Dunmore. And I went down to Dunmore, I picked my car up at Kelleher's, had to have a light on the back. I went over to Dunmore and I was doing this deed. And my plan was to go soul winning. But while I was in this building doing this good deed, I came out and there was a lady, a staff lady, working there. And she looked at me, she said, "Where's my Christmas present?" And I said, "I've got the greatest and best present for you that I want to give you." And she goes, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, but before I give it to you, you have to answer two spiritual questions." And she goes, "Okay." And I asked her the two questions and led her to faith in Jesus Christ. Her name was Vanessa. She has 5 kids. And she lives in Wilkes-Barre and works up in Dunmore. I came from there to the Sons of the Prophets to open in hymn and open in prayer. And I challenged the men. I said, "We need to have 3 buses." I said, "Brother Z's route, he's trained workers, he's done the work, it's grown, it's blessed, he's lived up to his potential, he's winning. Now that needs to be split in two. That route needs to be split in two. 2 buses. And if it's split in two, he still can't reach Wilkes-Barre. But we could send a van to Wilkes-Barre. And still have Brother Matt's route going strong." I'm just saying, we need to be challenged to win by having challenging people around us and letting people around us challenge us to live up to our potential, and number two, by considering how you can challenge others. And I went there to that college to be able to do that. I've talked to some people in this church to challenge you, but what's going to be your response to my private challenges or my public challenges? It'll make all the difference in your life and your future. But let me conclude by saying this. You need to be challenged or provoked to win. Number three, by committing to do it first yourself. Let's look at this again. Verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works." How are we going to provoke others to do it? Well, how about the Israeli army? Do the generals stand back and say, "Go into battle"? No. It's like a lot of American presidents. Go into battle. Die. While they're getting enriched and they're a bunch of corrupt devils. No, no. The Israeli army, King David being the example, they led the army into battle. Joshua, all of them. And you know what? I get provoked to love and good works when I see people get a hold of what I'm preaching and they're soul winning and they're testifying to it. They're bringing people down the aisle. Those people are getting baptized, joining the church. There are people that are doing that. And that challenges me in my own life and keeps me vital. And I want to just say to you that you need to do it yourself. And then you can stir others up to do it. You know what the problem is? A lot of preachers and deacons all across this country, they're running the church, but they're not building the church.
Right.
Let me say that again. A lot of problem with preachers and deacons is they're running the church, but they're not building the church. They're not on the front lines. How sad that is. Amen. And I want to just say that you need to commit to do it yourself first, and you can challenge others. And God says in Romans 11:11, he says this about the Jews when they rejected the Messiah. He said, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." Do you know that the Jews rejected God's offer? They said, "We don't want the Messiah." And God said, "Okay, I'm not going to stay with you. I'm going to go to the Gentiles, but I still love you, and I want to provoke you to jealousy." Do you know what? I believe that there are people in the church. You've been blessed. God has given you salvation through this gospel ministry. God has given you blessings through this gospel ministry, but he wants you to give back. He wants you to give back. You say, "I've given all I'm going to give. I'm not going to do anymore." But then God will get somebody else to do it. I don't want somebody to take my crown. That challenges me. I don't want some young person to go by and take it all. I don't want to run the church and not build the church. I don't want that. Amen. I'm giving you my heart tonight. What about you? Are you going to be passed by while others get the blessing and get the rewards? You know, it's kind of like losing weight. Somewhere along the line, I decided I wanted to lose weight. And I have my own way to lose weight and get in shape. But other people have their way. My wife decided I want to do that, but she didn't do it my way. It wouldn't work for her. She couldn't wear my armor. It would discourage her. But you know what? It still is stimulating when you see somebody do it. And you say, "Perhaps I can do that." And Everybody has their own personality. You have your own armor, but God can give you. You see, God wants to work through your life to show that he really does answer prayer. He really is real. He really can do great and mighty things. He can do things that you can't do in your human strength and your human ability. That's what I saw in Jack Hoff. That's what I saw in Kevin Wynn. That's what I get stirred up to go to that next level by God's grace. And then when I do it, I can encourage others. Yeah, you do it. You do it with God. You don't have to copy my method exactly. You do it with God, and you do it his way. And praise the Lord for people that do that. I think of Diane Payone. She told me she led four people on the bus the other day going back. And you know what? When you hear people sharing testimonies like that, that should provoke you. Not provoke you to get angry at Diane and knock her out and shut her up. I wish she'd shut up. She's provoking me. No. And not to copy exactly what she did, but to move out. Go forward yourself to love and good works. You see, God doesn't want us to live on yesterday's grace. And he wants us to go forward and to live for God. And maybe you could ask more people those two spiritual questions. Maybe you could give out more tracts. Maybe you could get involved in a weekly soul winning outreach. Because really, if a person doesn't have a weekly approved soul winning outreach, they can't teach in Christian school or Sunday school. And this is for men and women. I think of what's going on. And there are folks in our church that God is using because they're doing it to provoke, to stimulate, to arouse you and challenge you to do more for God and to do more with God's help and strength, because he'll never ask you to do something, listen to me, that you do in your own strength. Amen. But you'll get a hold of their faith. You'll get a hold of their God. You'll get a hold of their grace yourself and realize you can have it. From generation to generation, you need to be challenged or provoked to live up to your potential, which is winning by putting challenging people around you, having challenging people around you, by considering how you can challenge others, and then by committing to do it first yourself so that you can challenge others and we can have a great church, a winning team, a championship team, not a middle of the road team. It's not where you are, it's what direction are you moving. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about being challenged.